The Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike, WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And now here is a preview, a cut from tonight's premiere on ABC of The Knights of Prosperity.
You got a lady friend?
What?
You know, a girl. Kissy, kissy.
Nah, not right now.
I've been divorced 4 times.
You know why?
I love the women too much. They're life's most beautiful mystery. You know what is my favorite part of a woman?
Her legs?
No.
Breasts?
No.
Oh. Her mind.
The vagina. I love it.
The Don and Mike Show.
There it is.
They use Hughes as their muse. Right. Don and Mike.
All right, so you know that we like Letterman.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hi there. And especially Buzz, yeah. Letterman stalker. Buzz, what can you tell us? Let's go to Buzz, the number one Letterman stalker.
He knows more about the David Letterman show than any living human being.
But in specific, Buzz, what can you tell us about Rob Burnett?
He's been with David Letterman, I believe, since the beginning. Certainly now, for as long as I can remember.
Buzz is not doing this with the benefit of a prep sheet.
No, he doesn't have any information in front of him. He's been head writer. He's now producer of the show. Has been for some time, actually. I remember Rob Burnett is the guy that Letterman would go to when he was producing the show. And you would see him on camera occasionally. Right. And then he, I believe, went onward and upward to bigger and better things.
I know he did that Ed show with Letterman.
Loved that show. Everybody loves Raymond, producer for that.
He's got this new show on tonight on ABC. Buzz, I'm going to take a gold star away from you. Mike came strong with the Rob Burnett knowledge, and for God's sakes, you're a stalker of the Letterman show.
Of the show, and more of the man himself, and not as much a stalker of Rob Burnett, apparently, as we needed here today.
Well, I believe this man is close to Letterman as any human being.
That's true. I think so. He thought you liked it. Well, he's here to promote his new show tonight, 9 o'clock East, 8 Central on ABC Nights of Prosperity. Hello, Rob.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Howdy. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
Rob, you got to love waking up in the morning and reading advance reviews for like the ones you're getting for Knights of Prosperity.
Well, it's very exciting. But, of course, the real jury, as you and I both know, is the American viewing public.
The American viewing public.
God bless them. Rob, I've got a bunch of clicks and grunts that make up my personality. Friend, is there any way that you could make this more formal and pick up the telephone? I hate speaker phones. They're so
impersonal.
You know.
I'm not on a speaker phone. Unfortunately, I'm on a cell phone. And at one point, I was talking to your producer. He said, is there anything we can do about that? I said, the best I can do is there's a pay phone here. I could call you Collect. And then he heard the word Collect. He said, you know what? You sound pretty good on the cell phone.
Wow. It does sound a little far away. Now, are you on the left or right coast now?
I am on the East Coast right now, but I'm kind of out and about doing stuff in preparation for the premiere.
You sound good now. You did something that just improved it. I don't know what that was.
You're in a good spot now. We got the copy of the first two episodes, and everybody's seen the ads for the show. Mm-hmm. Tom Shales, our friend of the Washington Post, gave it a rare rave.
One of the best raves I've read from him in a very, very long time.
Today.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
Here's a real serious question for you. Why would you dudes, after the success you've had with Letterman and you had a good run with Ed, mm-hmm. and everybody loves Raymond, and sitcoms generally stink on ice, why would you want to put your toe into that pond?
Well, you know, it's probably the same reason. How come you guys get up and do your show every day?
Yeah, it's what you do, right?
Yeah, kind of, you know what I mean? And it's funny, while you're doing it, I don't know if you guys are like me, you're just thinking, why in God's name am I doing this? And then when it's over and you go a year or so and you say, oh, now I need to do something else, you kind of want to get back into it.
It's got to be frustrating, I would imagine, to read the good press on a show like this. And I love it when I read a review with an explanation for a show that even in the explanation I start laughing, you know, even in the scenes that you present. But you really do have to rely on time slot, where it's located, how the shows around it are doing. I would imagine that's a little tough element of your business, isn't it?
It really is. It's kind of the analogy I always use. It's sort of like if you opened up a restaurant and, you know, you decided, okay, I'm going to open up an Italian restaurant, and you try to make the best Italian food you can, but you can't pick the location of the restaurant, and you can't decide, you know, you have no effect if, like, a giant Italian restaurant opens up right across the street.
Yeah, tell me about it.
You can't control.
Hanks, look around,
Cafe. You make the best food you can and hope people like it.
Right. Yeah, and sometimes it fails.
The original title of this show, and we heard about it a long time ago, was like one of those one-line story things. It was someone shopping a show called "We're Going to Rob Mick Jagger." We're going to steal from Mick Jagger. That is still the basic premise. Mick Jagger will be in the show tonight, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mick is in the. He does a cameo in the pilot, and I got to say, he's fantastic. He's really, really funny in it. That's basically the premise. It's a poor guy, Donald, played by Donald Logue, who's a janitor. He sees Mick Jagger's $52 million apartment on television with Mick gloating about it, and he calls together a bunch of his boys and says, "It's time for us to get our piece of the pie. We're going to rob Mick Jagger."
So the premise of the show, is it all season that we're going to be doing capers, or is it one caper, or are these, I mean, for the duration of the season, are they all...
Let me give you a little hip. I watched part of it, and it definitely has like a goof vibe to it, like you're goofing on Ocean's 11 almost.
Oh, I like that a lot.
Right?
Yeah, there's actually a line in the pilot where Eugene, Donald's character, and trying to inspire everyone, says, you know, come on, we're like Ocean's 11. And one guy sums it up by saying, no, it's more like we're Ocean's idiots, which is kind of what the show really is.
And it has that actor, I forget that guy's name, he was in the movie The Tao of Steve.
Yeah, Donald Logue.
Yeah, this guy, and he was also in another sitcom, I forget.
He was in Grounded for Life on
Still
Fox.
Standing.
Grounded for Life, that's the guy. That guy's funny as S, and he's really, really good in the show as well.
He's tremendous, and the whole cast, I got to say, having done this a little bit, the thing that's the most important in trying to get a hit show is the cast. It's kind of everything. If you have the cast, you have a shot. And I have to say, we've been very, very lucky with, you know, what we've assembled. Donald's the start of it, and then the rest of them are really phenomenal, each in their own way.
And it doesn't hurt to have a rock icon joining. I was reading another article about the show where the process of getting Mick on board with this, and that he could call you at all hours, and he actually did call you in the wee hours of the morning, right?
It was completely insane. We heard that Mick read the script on the way to Japan, and he's going to call us. We can't tell when. You know when the cable guy is going to come to your house between 9 and 5?
Right, right.
If it's a rock star, apparently it can be any time during the weekend, 24 hours. So I could not leave. I was like Martha Stewart trapped in my own home. It was ridiculous.
Now, let me see. Robert, I'm looking here. Rob, I'm sorry, I called you by your formal name. I love looking at the TV schedules and trying to plan out who's going to win in the ratings on a given night.
Okay, what are they up against
tonight? Let's look at what you got tonight. First, we endorse this show. Hope everybody watches it tonight on ABC.
Yeah.
We must be realistic. You are going into this with one hand, one arm. Hell, you're going in as a torso with no limbs at all. Your lead-in tonight are two episodes of According to Jim.
Oh, my God.
Two episodes of Test Pattern. So let's assume that America collectively turns on ABC at 9 o'clock. You're on against Criminal Minds on CBS.
Trouble.
As you know, hold on. CBS is the mortuary. It the mortician's
friend. Yeah, but Criminal
Minds,
I like their chances against Criminal Minds.
But, Mike, it's like everything on CBS.
I know.
It's either killing somebody or it's somebody old.
Figuring out how they died.
Now you've got on Fox, you've got a football game. That's a niche audience. Here's the wild card, though, tonight. You're up against the moron special, Deal or No Deal. I predict that you will finish a strong second in your time slot.
And that's
a
good
thing.
Please do not take that as a put down.
No.
I believe you cannot underestimate the stupidity of America and their love of Howie Mandel and those stupid briefcases. But when you get past that, you're in good shape. If you could just get rid of that terrible, that gigantic rock you've got around your neck from 8 till 9. I mean, goodness, really, when you sit down now, is Letterman involved in this show at all with you?
Not on a daily basis, but, his name's on it.
Okay. How much, when I wanted to ask you, because you did start as an intern on Letterman's show, went into the, got the job of head writer, you were writing for him. How good is that? Is that a typical foundation for somebody who's going to go into development of comedies? Is that a great way to cut your teeth on that? I mean, does it help you with it or does it hurt you? I mean, is it a different thought process? I'm fascinated by the way you guys that do writing for a daily show like David Letterman move into the world of comedy sitcoms.
Well, honestly, it's not typical. Normally what is typical is people work their way kind of up the sitcom ladder. Well, I think that I gained an advantage, and same with my partner, John Beckerman, who also worked for Letterman for a long time, is that it's almost like going to a different kind of school with a different kind of sensibility, and it's a very smart sensibility. And at The Late Show, the best thing about The Late Show is that, I don't know if this will make sense, but you're in a room with 12 people, and you're all writing the exact same thing. So what happens is, here's a top 10 list. Everyone go write jokes. Well, the first three or four you think of, seven or eight other people will have those same jokes.
I never knew that.
So it just makes you push yourself very hard to come up with something very unique.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
And now that I'm looking at everything here while you were talking to Mike, I'm afraid you're really going to lose tonight. I know that I'm surprised I didn't think about this. 9 o'clock, Hallmark Channel. Now, hold on.
What's up?
It's one of my all-time favorite TV movies.
Oh, what are we going to have?
Jane Doe Vanishing Act with Leah Thompson and Joe Penny. Now, you might as well just sign off tonight.
Hey, I like Jake and the Fat Man, okay?
Good question. How long have you been taking the Newt Rockney classes?
Oh, and about the Letterman Show, if you don't mind, for one second. Will we ever see the return of Johnny Dark in that role as the world's oldest page? Because that seemed to me to be a bit that was on just because maybe five or six people thought it was funny, and I guess I was one of the five or six people, because I would go back and with TiVo rewatch it over and over again when he tells Letterman to F. Hey, Rob, where's one of the Johnny Dark tapes we have?
Where do you line up on the Johnny Dark thing,
Rob?
Like
right here. Here's the guy we're talking about.
Yeah, right. I'm pulling your wang!
Too good. Who is that guy in real life?
We're fascinated by him, Rob.
And where did you come up with that? You guys come up with that concept for him?
You know, Johnny Dark is an old-time comedian. I think Dave knew him way, way back from, like, the 70s. And I don't know how they reconnected. I think they ran into each other somewhere, whatever. And Dave, I think, always thought he was funny and invited him to come back on the show and kind of put it to us to come up with something. We came up with this idea from him as the world's oldest page. And I don't know. I suppose it's an acquired taste, but I think it's pretty funny.
So is he going to hang around? I mean, not necessarily as Johnny Dark, but will he be? I've seen him do other things, too, where he just kind of comes out and, attacks Dave. Is he going to be hanging around for a while?
Yeah, I think we're not done with Johnny yet.
Okay.
Good, good, good. And your show tonight, are you at all worried about dealing with these dickheads at the network who may or may not take your show and may move it to a better time slot or a different time slot or may let it air once and say it's good or it's not good? It's so freaking subjective depending on what they think. What's your feeling with these clods at ABC?
Well, I got to say that I really, going into this, I would like very much to take the position that these guys are idiots and all, but the truth is they've actually treated us very, very well. So they've promoted the show pretty strongly. So the time slot that we have is tough. I think it's actually the best time slot that they had to give us. They didn't really have a lot of choices. And when we pitched this show originally, we actually pitched it to all four networks, and for whatever reason, all four networks bid on this show and wanted it. And we kind of made a conscious decision that at ABC, they haven't really had this kind of comedy since I can't really remember for how long. So we kind of thought, you know what, maybe let's be a big fish in a small pond, so to speak. And so far, they're really very much in support of us. So if we fail, I can't really blame them.
Okay. Well, you'll change if things go south. But
yeah,
you'll
a few hours from now, I will completely change that statement.
Good for toeing the company line on this. As I said, we've seen a couple of episodes. They really are very funny. Tonight at 9 o'clock on ABC, 8 o'clock Central, Knights of Prosperity. Rob, good having you on the show, and hope that works out for you, dude. I was a big fan of Ed as well.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of your guys. You guys used to be on in New York, am I right?
Yes, we were.
Yeah, we were.
I used to listen to you guys. You guys are awesome.
Thank you very much, Rob.
You're the one. Thank you, Rob.
All right, guys.
See you later. Bye, dude.
That's Rob Burnett. He's producer of everything, actually. Yeah. Executive producer of everything. That's the best name for him. Absolutely.
So that's a buzz. You didn't even stand up and tell the guy Professor Love for Letterman and everything. That's about as close. Mike was right.
I don't want to frighten him.
That's about as close as you're going to get
to your man.
You know, when Dave was bagging groceries back in Indiana, he got in trouble once for stacking cans in a way that if a customer removed a single can from the display, the whole thing would collapse. That's the kind of stuff I know that would frighten Rob Burnett.
Where did Letterman grow up, Buzz? I know it was Indiana. Where in Indiana? Do you know where?
You know, I've forgotten the hometown. I have to research it. But
Hoosier, Indiana.
Ball State.
How many siblings does Dave Letterman have?
I think he has two older sisters.
How many times has he been married?
Once, before he went to L.A. to do stand-up comedy. And left his TV weather job in Indiana where he forecast hail the size of canned hams.
When did you decide that you wanted to be his butt buddy?
Oh, long, long ago.
Have you ever been inside his house in Connecticut?
I can't say.
When he hasn't been home?
I'd rather not say.
Buzz would really like to go inside his cave, and you know what I mean. You know, his bungalow.
It's still, you know the thing about this, and it is...
Look at that smile on Buzz's face. Buzz has a smile that is normally reserved when there's a hot piece of ass in the studio.
He is very excited. As a matter of fact, he patterns his life after Letterman a little bit.
A little bit.
You know, he's got the gap. He's our gap-tooth newsman.
I do. I have the same condition.
You know, it's very close.
And he could still surprise us and have that baby late in life.
Yes, absolutely. He certainly could.
Kind of a medical miracle, but it could happen.
Do you jog and vacation in the Caribbean and go to Montana like Dave does?
Two out of three of those.
Okay, very good.
How old is David Letterman?
You know, I've lost track of his age. I believe he would be 57 at this point.
57 years young.
How many signed photos of Letterman or pieces of Letterman memorabilia do you have?
9.
Really?
Including a totally autographed picture of the world's most dangerous band, his late night band from the NBC show.
Wow.
I have videotape of the morning show.
Have you been to the show?
No, I have not.
He has. I'm pointing at Don.
Oh, yeah.
Rob, you have too?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You went too.
Yeah.
I was really wanting to go when I had my daughters up in New York. I really wanted to go.
When I went, Buzz?
Yeah.
He was so hot.
I know.
My God. I could see the bulge in his pants.
They won't let me in.
I really could through that triple-breasted suit of his.
Something about a court order.
How old is Dot Letterman?
I don't know. I'm going to say 80. Letterman. I'll say 89. I'll just throw that out.
What would you do if you could ever sit down with Letterman? Besides raping him, what would you do to him?
Oh, I think just stare lovingly.
If you had a chance to sit in a room with David Letterman, your idol... Uh-huh. What would you say? What would be your opening comment to him?
I'd say...
Be honest.
Take me,
Dave. Here's what I really say.
I'd say, taste you.
I'd say, it's more than a pleasure to meet you. I have identified with your sense of humor since I first saw you on NBC.
Now, I'd like to present myself.
And, of course, Buzz would be saying that while he's in a terry cloth bathrobe.
Open.
Open. Completely open. At full attention.
And aroused.
Fall open.
Aroused.
Hi, Dave. I'm Buzz Burbank.
Hi.
You'll notice that I'm very excited to see you.
Hi.
Say, tell me the story about when you bagged groceries when you were a boy. That's it. Tell me about the last can.
Listen, this is all very fascinating, but I was wondering, while you're telling this story, can I suck on your fingers?
There's a plaque at Ball State University dedicated to all the C students who would follow him there.
I bet you'd like to show him your Ball State University.
Home of the Fightin' Robins.
Is that now you know his college?
Yeah,
you wouldn't know any other college.
As he describes it, the fiercest robin-sized bird, wren-sized bird in the army.
What do you think it would be like to kiss him, Buzz?
Oh, I can't. With the two gap teeth, we're gonna have trouble.
Can you imagine though? Do you find him handsome at all?
Not really. No.
You don't dress like him. You don't wear like suits with sneakers.
I used to.
Did you really?
I did.
But when you still go out, you still throw that look on a little bit.
Now you're too hip for the room.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Any other questions for Mr. Burbank regarding David Letterman as we think of all the things we'd like to ask that would be edited out by the censors?
First wife, girlfriends, anything like that?
No, just about your fascination.
Would you ever go through his garbage? If you were driving down a street and somebody said, this is Letterman's house, and you saw like an overflowing can of garbage, would you go through it?
You couldn't keep me away from it.
Okay. And would you later make violent love to whatever piece of trash it was that you found?
Maybe.
A Starbucks cup.
Smelling it.
Piece of veal.
Smells like Dave. I bet Dave's got the vish breath sometimes.
Cigars.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, we know Buzz hates children. What would you do if you met Harry? Would you like Harry Letterman?
Yeah. Baby Harry, yes, his child.
That's a good question, Rob.
Harry gets a pass.
What if Harry was in a stroller?
Mm-hmm.
A double stroller.
He hates strollers.
He's the Letterman boy. He gets a pass.
The Letterman boy, the golden child.
That's right.
The Letterman boy.
A dream scenario. Maybe someday you and Marshall will be invited up there.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
Or maybe someday you'd be like, here's the last question. What was the name of the crazy lady who kept breaking into his house?
oh, my God, that's been forever. I've forgotten her name. Ray, something Ray, Margaret Ray.
Margaret
Is that right?
Ray Elston.
Margaret Ray, I think.
Margaret Ray Elston.
I still have her letters.
Everybody watch that show of Rob Burnett's tonight, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, blah, blah, ABC. But everybody will be watching Hallmark Channel anyway.
Yeah. Knights of Prosperity.
Because I want to tell you, if Joe Penny is there, I'm there. Mm-hmm. You know why? He's a dirty penny.
He's a good penny.
He's a dirty penny.
You'd like to shine that penny.
Did he die of the AIDS, of the HIV?
I think he may have.
I think so, right? He was the guy with the receding hairline on Jake and the Fat Man, right?
Yeah, and he used to show up in Letterman's living room occasionally. No, I don't
know. No, that was a woman.
That was a woman.
And that was a lady from a real loony bin, right?
Yeah, yeah, and she went back and then I guess left us in a horrible way.
What town in Connecticut does he live in?
New Canaan. It was New Canaan, at least. I think he moved to a farm just a little further out.
And when did you formulate your plan to attempt to kidnap his son?
Oh, that was not my plan.
Oh, yeah, like you weren't driving around his block with duct tape?
No.
And box cutters in your trunk?
Let no harm come to the Letterman family.
What western state does he reside in?
Montana.
Yeah, I mentioned that before.
Oh, you do? Do you know the town?
I've forgotten, no.
But do you have it somewhere?
It's on my map at home.
Gaptooth, Montana.
My map places Dave has been.
All right, Buzz. Thank you.
Quiz over.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
He's still a stalker in my book. He gave us all the answers.
I have more if you need it.
I was just very surprised that guy Rob Burnett came up, and Mike, you stepped up like Buzz didn't.
Yeah, well, you know, Rob Burnett. But, of course, I read the literature.
He's not Dave.
Yeah.
Oh, now, hold on. Before we break, let's do hear the entire Tara Reid tape, please. This is better than the Dick Clark tape.
Tara Reid has been a boozy starlet for many years now.
Total time on this tape is 1:07. Won't take very long out of your life to hear her attempting to do on New Year's Eve when she was... was she on TV? In what venue?
No, she was hosting a party in Chicago, and this was captured by Party Goat.
That is the big thing
even
now.
Better.
What they do is at these nightclubs, they hire these celebrities to come out and do the countdowns for them, and they pay them an amazing amount of money just to be there. And what, does she start over a couple of times?
Is that like that crap when we went to the Super Bowl and they had those parties with the celebrities that would just show up
Absolutely.
And they'd pay them like $5,000 just to be there?
Well, it's like when Britney Spears passed out. I think the nightclub was called Pure.
Yeah.
And, you know, she did the countdown and then she passed out in the VIP suite and they carried her out in a blanket. Similar thing right here.
Mike, that's not true. I read that she was just overtired.
Yeah,
she was overtired. She'd been with the kiddies.
Yeah. Well, it's a real strain not wearing panties.
Here is Tara Reid. Started at 10. And then she started over again. She's going up.
31, 33. I heard the 31, 33. Twenty to 9.
It's madness. There they get it together. Now, somewhere we've got a transcript of that. We'll find it after the break.
Yes.
To give you the numbers, she went 10987654321, 39, 38, 37, 36, 35. 28, 27, 26, 11.
And then when finally she said, Happy New Year, she projectile vomited. Right after that.
Great volleyo. Great tapes. And we'll try to get that together for you. As a matter of fact, oh, God, we've got lots of tapes. Mike, you mentioned the Britney tape. We've got something from Entertainment Tonight or something about her passing out.
Yep.
I think what we really got to get to is that we have two tapes that we should definitely start with when we come back. Pat Robertson's latest ass prediction, and the stuff with Oprah, which is really starting to get on my nerves, with Oprah's mission going over to Africa, opening the school over there.
Right.
Okay, she does good stuff.
Yes,
she does. She's a good lady.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She's a good, kiss your good lady for me.
Yes.
You know, beyond that, really, Oprah.
Shut up!
And beyond that.
Shut up!
And beyond that.
Shut up!
And beyond that.
Shut up!
And to all of your celebrity friends who are over there trying to get their pound of flesh for doing something good.
Shut up!
If you want to really do something good, open your goddamn purse.
Shut up!
Because you're richer than the King of Siam.
Shut up!
You could buy the entire country of Africa.
Shut up!
And put a McDonald's on every corner.
Shut up!
And give everybody a Big Mac for life.
Shut up!
And have enough left over.
Shut up!
For a lifetime supply.
Shut up!
Of dildos.
Shut up!
To help you.
Shut up!
With your faggot husband.
Shut up!
You're not.
Shut up.
Sister.
Shut up.
Mother.
Shut up.
Teresa.
Shut up.
You were on People Are Talking on Channel 13.
Shut up.
You are Beverly Burke with a diet.
Shut up.
Way to remember People Are Talking.
You got hit by the lucky stick.
Shut up.
Please, book of the month.
Shut up.
Oprah's favorite gifts.
Shut up.
I got $100 gift certificate. You got to spend it on one of my angels.
Shut up.
Now I'm going to go to Africa. Look at me. I'm Oprah.
Shut up.
I'm doing good stuff for people. Oh, look at me. Help these children.
Shut up.
Incidentally, when am I getting back to the Ritz-Carlton tonight? Where's my mosquito sheet?
Shut up.
Stedman. Where's Gay Stedman?
Shut up.
I'm Oprah. I'm helping children.
Shut up.
Oh, look, there's the camera. Stay away from me, camera. No, zoom in.
Shut up.
Yuck. Anyway, would you like to hear some tapes?
I certainly would.
Like to hear tapes of Saint Oprah?
I'd love to hear that.
Christ.
I think you summed it up quite nicely.
It's such a pisser. If these celebrities really cared and wanted to do something, all she'd have to do is sit her nice fat ass down and write a big check.
Shut up!
That's all it would take.
Quiet. Give it all away.
Oh, you know what?
Live in poverty.
In the case of Oprah, give away 50%. I got news for you.
Shut up.
You still got more money than Jesus. Really?
50%.
80%.
Yeah, 80%. She'd still live beautifully.
Yeah. And like with all these celebrities, if you really care, do it without the cameras. Mm-hmm. Really do. And if the cameras follow you over, say, don't come with me. But as you're going to hear on this tape, and I think Mike mentioned it earlier, she has all of her hangers-on waiting to suck on the collective Oprah I'm good teat, like Al Roker.
Right.
Please. You know how Al Roker could help the people in Africa?
No.
He could cut himself open and let them eat his stomach.
Shut up!
Really, that's how Al Roker could help. Feed a family of five.
It's an interesting theory.
Just on the undigested meat in Al Roker's stomach.
Okay, didn't he have that surgery, though?
Yeah, but it doesn't mean... like
his head's still big.
Like he still doesn't eat.
Yeah, you know he eats.
Look at him.
I think he's got two stomachs.
There's a list.
I think it's a fake.
There's an incredible list of celebrities who were over there for no other reason
than
to say, first, I'm with Oprah. Aren't I special?
Right.
And then say, look at me helping out these poor African kids.
Yeah, so you're saying you don't think they'd be there if the cameras weren't there?
Shut up!
No, I don't, Mike. We've got a lot of tape, and we'll hear them right at this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.